How many have small children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, you know, like under the age of 5? Are those children able to do complex mathematics? Probably not, huh? You know, is a 2-year-old able to ride a bike? Is a 2-year-old able to talk in complete sentences with proper structure? Well, how do you discipline them for not being able to do those things? You don't, do you? Because you realize they're where they're at, and they're growing, and they're going to develop those skills later in life. So it is with us. Everyone here is in the process of developing in the Spirit of God. And I believe we need to cut ourselves some slack, and we need to cut everybody else some slack too. You know, this get-together doesn't have to be perfect. There is one who is perfect. There's a wonderful scripture that I have claimed for nearly 38 years. That's how long I've been a goldsmith next month. And I saw this scripture in Exodus, and I claimed it. And I just saw something about a month ago when I got this word that is bringing about what I'm speaking about today. So could we turn to Exodus 31, please? It starts there at the beginning, talks about Bezalel, and, you know, it just blew me away how he had this beautiful spirit, and he also had the anointing to make artistic designs. So, you know, in gold, silver, and bronze, he cut stones, all this stuff, and God has given me those skills. But here's the thing that really caught my attention. In verse 6, the second part of it, "And in the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put skill, that they may make all that I have commanded you." Now, what is that? Those that have applied themselves to learn and develop a skill, God gave an anointing of skill on top of that. This is the place we're in right now. So we need to loosen up and listen to what we feel the Spirit is saying. And there's going to be times when He's speaking just to us, and we need to do like Mary did and ponder it in our heart. You know, sock it away, ponder it in our heart, dwell on it, let it ferment, let it marinate. And there's other times when it's going to be for someone near us. There's times when we need the freedom to speak, and there's times when we need the freedom to be silent and not say anything. This isn't very easy for our generation. I don't think. We've kind of got the ratio in reverse because we have two ears and one mouth, but we talk twice as much as we listen. I'm pretty good at math, just in case you wondered. And then you know, if you read in Luke 19:26, it says it's a parable about the talents. You know, I'll just paraphrase the story. I think all of us are fairly familiar with that. To one, Jesus, or the master gave five, the one he gave two, the one he gave one. So the one that got five and the one that got two invested it. In other words, they risked it. Okay? There's a certain amount of risk in investment. Who has lost their behind on an investment? All right. We have one. I have two. I'm self-employed. That's risky right there. And then the guy who got one had fear, and he buried the talent, and he returned it to the master. He says, you know, you're corrupt. I was afraid. Here, I gave it back to you. So the master took his away and gave it to one of the other fellows. And it says, to him who has, more will be given. So we need to develop the skill of working in the Spirit of God, skill in hearing the word and keeping silent on it or speaking it, depending on how the Spirit's leading us. And as we do that, he will anoint us with more skill, and he's going to give us more and more and more. But if we're cuddled in a corner and we're afraid to speak out, we're missing it. And I know none of us would choose that, but the whole system we're in allows us to do that. You know, you don't want to be obnoxious and interrupt somebody, but we need to allow places in our get-togethers for each one to declare the revelation that they're seeing and hearing. Because I need to hear from you. And you need to hear from me. We need to hear from each other. I don't know how to do this, but if we all start crying out for it, it's going to happen. Because I firmly believe this is what God wants. The spirit of the shepherd isn't coming from one or two. It's on all of us. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Okay, we're in the world, and God has placed people in our realm. Those are the people that we're to take some responsibility for. Don't you think? Yes. Instead of, hi, goodbye, how are you? Yeah, I'm fine. It can be more than that, I think. I'm just thinking. And we also need to take responsibility for ourselves. You know, who is the great shepherd? Jesus, right? And he describes some of the attributes of the shepherd. A particularly wonderful description is in Isaiah 58. He's talking about fasting. And he says, isn't this a fast that I've called for, to break the bonds, to break the yoke, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked? What is that? That's shepherding. And then you go over to Isaiah 61 that Jesus quoted in the temple. What's that say? Anybody want to tell me? I'm hearing crickets here.
Can you read it?
Please.
Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners. Proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance.
Amen.
Comfort all who mourn.
Amen. Amen. Now, if this is the anointing on Christ, it's the anointing on us.
Right.
You know, that's fruit. We all want to bear fruit. But like the word has already come, we need to send our roots deeper into Him. Healings aren't a thing. They're just a manifestation of the love of God.
Yeah.
We all want that. We want to see that manifested in our lives. But He wants to be able to trust us. Have you ever said something and then heard it later and you were misquoted?
Yeah.
And it didn't shine on you too favorably? Well, you think God's any different? Does He want to be misquoted? Think about it. He wants us to accurately hear and accurately speak. Not twist it up in our heads. So we bury the word as He speaks to us, and we let it send deep roots into us, like Mary did. She pondered it in her heart. And then when it's mature, it can spill out. When you plant a grapevine, you don't let it fruit the first few years. It'll put out fruit, but you don't want it to. In fact, the first year you plant that vine and you cut it back to two buds, okay, and you let them grow. And they grow like crazy because it's only two growth sites. And then in the winter of the second year, you whack it again to two buds. Each time you do that, you're limiting the expression in the world, but you're sending all the energy back down into the roots to make the plant stronger. If you let a grapevine fruit however it wants in the first 3 or 4 years of its life, it weakens the thing. It weakens it because it's programmed to ripen that fruit. It's got stored reserves inside, but it wants to ripen that fruit because that's its program. So it will take all of its stored reserves and pour it into trying to ripen that fruit to its own detriment. And then once it's got the strength and the reserves, you can let it fruit, and it's quality fruit. See, there's differences in fruit. I'm not talking about like you go to a grocery store and there's a blemish on a tomato. I'm talking about flavorful and beautiful and good texture. That's what we want. You probably never thought about yourself having texture. That's pretty goofy. So, here's our service. We're all, how many have been hot air ballooning? Just a few. It's pretty interesting. Here we all are we're all in the basket. The Lord is operating the gas. We're going up. We're getting His view of things. You know, the bird's eye view. When you're up in that hot air balloon, you look down, and you swear it looks like a postage stamp down there. There's no sense of height. So if you're afraid of heights, don't rule that out. It's pretty fun. And so we're all in this together, and we're going where the wind goes, right? Hey, wait a second. Jesus talked about that. I think it was in John 3 when he's talking to Nicodemus. I think it was verse 6. I got an incredible memory. Oh, I got it. Oh, it's verse 8. Got it right here. He said, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. They're like the wind. Well, why can't our services be like the wind? I don't feel any wind a lot of times. We need to be free enough and light enough that the Spirit can blow us whatever direction God wants us to go. And let's not judge it. You know? How easy it is when something comes along in our daily life and it does some little ripple to our schedule and we get our feathers all stuck out and we're upset about it when it's nothing. You know? It's just different. And sometimes that is really awesome. Sometimes, speaking of that, I'm making a piece of jewelry and I make an error. You know, I've got it pictured in my head exactly how I want this to be. That's how we have our services. It's pictured in our head exactly how we want it to go. Well, that's not very creative sometimes. We still have to allow the creative process, even after we've got it pictured in our head, as it works itself out, you still allow the creative process. So I was making this ring one day, and I was trying to soften the metal, and I got a little too hot, and I melted an edge. Of course, I was bummed. But I looked at it, and I said, wow, that's a pretty cool idea. So I melted a few more edges. And it made it a better piece. Because, see, I'd made it parallel. And this thing had flow all through it. So once I slumped that edge, it made a nice curve, and it just made the whole thing better. Could we do that too? Could we allow that in our lives and in the lives around us? Like, I wanted you to do it this way, but you slumped. Fine, maybe it's going to come out better. I don't know. Who knows? See, when we come here, we have an agenda. We want to see it played out a certain way. Well, I have an agenda too when I come here. And I'm going to share that with you. And hopefully it doesn't offend anybody. I want everyone to be free to speak prophetically. I want you to be free to be quiet too. I want fewer songs. More free worship. Quiet periods. So I can just listen to him. There's a bunch of noise going on. It's harder to hear him. I don't know if it is for you, but it's harder for me. And I want a lot of prophetic words. Because what does it say in Revelation? It's Spirit of Jesus. Yeah. Testimony of Jesus is Spirit of prophecy. You know, you remember that time when Jesus went over to Mary and Martha's house? And you know the story. Mary was planted at Jesus' feet. Martha was distracted with the things that needed to be done. Which one are we going to be like? Are we going to come to Jesus and plant ourselves at his feet and hang on every word that comes out of his mouth? Or are we going to come to Jesus like Martha did and complain? See, that's what she did. She went to Jesus and said, Master, don't you see my lazy sister? Can you tell her to get off her butt and help with the preparations? See the attitude of heart? They were both in the environment. One was complaining, the other was listening. Let's check ourselves. You know, I don't mean just at the service, but this is a good way to live our lives. Not the complaining part, but just to examine ourselves. Stop it, Fred. He's a troublemaker. But I love being here. My love goes out to all of you. And let's just be free. Let's be free in the spirit, like the wind. Amen.